Hello and welcome to The Bookmonger. I'm John J. Miller of National Review. Thanks for listening. This show is a production of National Review, and we're recording from the studio WRFH, the campus radio station of Hillsdale College. Our guest is David Hackett Fisher, author of African Founders, How Enslaved People Expanded American Ideals. David, welcome to The Bookmonger.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Explain the subtitle of African Founders, How Enslaved People Expanded American Ideals.
The central thought that led to and guided the book was that Africans, even in slavery, had a major impact on American values, American purposes, and on the very fabric of this republic.
Now, you've written a lot about regional cultures and what happens to them as they move across the ocean from the old world to the new world. And your earlier book, Albion Sea, describes this phenomenon in Anglo-American terms, British folkways in America, that sort of thing. Do we see the same thing with African Americans?
Yes. What surprised me in both times was that this process was very complex. It happened differently in different parts of what is now America. And the differences helped to shape those regions, one from another. And that applied both to the Europeans, mostly at the start British, who came over as the founders of these new settlements, and then from the Africans to the Africans who came, who were brought over as slaves. But both groups, European and African, came from different parts of Europe and different parts of Africa, and they came from different cultures within those areas, and the result was the diversity that is fundamental to American life and to the American Republic.
So, what's an example of an African folkway in America?
One example would be in New England. This was a comparatively small African population by comparison with southern regions such as the Chesapeake and then the Carolinas, where slavery was on a much larger scale. Africans came to all of the New England colonies, but they mostly came from West Africa and from the areas that are now in the country that we know as Ghana today in Africa. And I think it's very important that for American historians to study these areas. Herodotus and Thucydides both wrote the first books that were called history in Greek, the histories of Herodotus, which, by the way, meant literally in Greek, the inquiries of Herodotus. And it was the same for Thucydides. And they thought that the first thing to do in any book of history, which is to say a process of inquiry, was go there and do it and study the place and the people and then think about it and then write about it. And that's what I try to do.
So is there an example of something from the culture of Ghana that we still see in the United States today?
Well, let me go specifically to Ghanaians in New England. And what the people from Ghana did who came over, they had rights and privileges within their own culture. And when they came to America, they instantly responded to the culture of British Puritan culture colonies there, which were founded on large purposes, on high principles, on a deep religious faith, but also on a rule of right and a rule of law, and they joined in with that. And then what they did was, in some sense, to enlarge those ideals in New England. They broadened them to include people from Africa, from very different cultures, from what we would call different races, and then they struggled to redefine the founding principles that we think of as fundamental to America in ways that included a much broader idea of humanity.
Your book is called African Founders. When we think of the founding fathers of the United States, names like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton come to mind. Who are the African founders? Who are a few people we should know?
Well, I have quite a large cast of characters here, and they get more interesting the more we get into them. And I try to help people to study them in individual terms. If we want to go to New England in particular, one of them was a woman. Her name was Elizabeth Mumbet Freeman. She had been born around 1742 from African parents, and when she was 6 months old, she was brought to Massachusetts as a slave. She arrived, we're told, at the bottom of a sleigh covered with snow. She was raised within the household of a leading political figure named Theodore Sedgwick. He was a lawyer in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. She listened and heard Sedgwick and others talk about their own rights and liberties as things that they possessed, and then she asked Theodore Sedgwick if she could claim her liberty under the law. And so what she did then was to learn about the Massachusetts Constitution of 1780 that still exists today. She began to work on these ideas of human rights and of written protections in the Constitution, but she hugely expanded them to include people who were not part of a small group that founded Massachusetts, but all humanity. And I think that sort of thing happened in many different ways, but with a common result. It transformed and greatly expanded the founding principles of the American Republic.
American history always operates in a political context, now more than usual, perhaps, with the 1619 Project and the responses to it. How can your book contribute to these conversations and debates?
Well, it's to urge people to start with thinking about history in the way that Herodotus and Thucydides understood it, as a process of inquiry, of open-ended inquiry. And then to go back and read a little, get into the subject, study the people who lived there, look for their own thoughts. It's amazing how many of them were put on paper. And then to learn about them directly that way. And that's what I try to teach my students when I'm in the classroom. And my books are attempts to do that to a larger public when we send them out through the world.
This is a massive book. It's 750 pages of text, almost 150 pages of footnotes. What went into the research and writing of African Founders?
It took me all my life. I grew up in Maryland. It's a border state, but with a very large African-American population. My father was the superintendent of the school system in Baltimore. And the most important event in his career when I was growing up was the Supreme Court revolution, Brown versus Board of Education, which abolished Jim Crow. And his task was to integrate the schools of Baltimore, and I was there. I was born in 1935, and I was in my teens when all this came down. And I watched this very much close up. It happened all around me, and both in my schools and also in my home. What he did was to consult with the leaders of the political leaders of the city and the state.
Just to wrap up quickly, what's the connection between that story and African Founders?
Well, African Founders there are several connections. The first was that these African Americans themselves became drivers in this process. They actually participated very actively in it. And they did it in different ways in different parts of the country. And the differences derived from different cultures of Africa that came to America. and also from the different cultures that came from Europe to America amongst the European immigrants. And it explores these differences, but all of them sharing much in common. So the result was a very open, pluralistic republic that was increasingly opening, and the opening process was itself local, based in communities, driven by small groups, not dominated from above, taking many different forms, and it's fundamental to the way this great republic works and to what keeps it strong and free.
The author is David Hackett Fisher. The book is African Founders, How Enslaved People Expanded American Ideals. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this show, please take a minute to leave a review. Your reviews help new listeners discover us, and that helps us keep this show going. We'll be back next week with a new episode of The Bookmonger.